Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Thank you so much, dear Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for making this program last for 5 years. Thanks for your letters and for your donations to keep us on the air. And just thank you for being our friends, the friends of me, Bombardier, for the Bitter Ender, the Alabama Lone Wolf, Big Sister Nancy, Little Sister, a.k.a. Braveheart Monica. Thank you so very, very much. But I was going to say something. Yeah, you know what? The Bitter Ender is back here and there tonight. He told me something, Bitter Ender, I'll never forget. He said something. There was the only person executed for war crimes in the United States. There's only been one person, and I'm going to ask the audience this. If you people want to do
no, on the winning side.
Yeah.
On the winning side, the only person that was ever executed for war crimes in the United States.
Oh, okay.
The war criminals are always on the losing side.
That's
and they
right.
always get revenge against them.
Well,
so, yeah, but this,
tell
was,
who
this
it was.
Character was the only one that was on the winning side that was executed for war crimes.
And I see nobody's tuned in yet to give us answers to Bitter Ender. I guess it's going to be up to you to educate the audience. Who was that white war criminal?
Oh, his holiness, St. Abraham the Pious. That was one of the reasons that John Wilkes Booth whacked him, was because of the war crimes that had been perpetrated against the Southern people. And there was, I think it was a brother of a young lady he was dating that was falsely accused of being a spy. It was a Confederate soldier falsely accused of spy. And they sent the appeal all the way up to Lincoln. Lincoln turned it down, had him executed. And that was one reason why Mr. Booth went after him. Great patriot, John Wilkes Booth, yes. And anyway, so I've always thought, how ironic.
Yes.
That's the only time I can remember, and Nancy can probably tell me some other time, but that's the only time I can ever remember of somebody on the winning side in a war being executed as a war criminal.
I'll tell you what, that made my day when you told me that. Only the Bitter Ender could come up with jewels like that. But anyway, Bitter Ender, you know what? I'm going to say this is kind of an aside. We'll have to do another short lesson because I've heard a person I deeply respect. He said this, and I was kind of surprised he said it. He said, you know, people are always talking about this war, you know, Lincoln's war against the South was because of slavery. He said, and I said, yeah, no, it wasn't. And this guy said, yes, it was. It was because of slavery. So we'll have to do another preview on that, summary course on the causes of that war. But anyway, Bitter Ender.
Lincoln said it wasn't. He said it was, you know, he said the Southern states could leave. They could keep their slaves if they would pay their taxes to the federal government. And so they, the Southerners said, I don't think we're going to pay taxes to a foreign country. That ain't going to happen, Bubba.
And the Corwin Amendment as well.
The
Corwin Amendment, that was passed in the Yankee Congress after the seven states had seceded and left the Union. The Yankee Congress passed what is known as the Corwin Amendment, which would have been the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And it was sponsored and sent through the House and by Representative Corwin from Ohio, and it protected slavery in the Constitution. It would have been the 13th Amendment. And the idea was to try to lure those seven states back into the Union and say, okay, we'll protect slavery. And the Southern states were going, well, that wasn't why we left. I mean, you can pass as many amendments as you want, but that wasn't why we left the Union. So it didn't make any difference. But then four northern states, you know, I've forgotten if it's two-thirds or three-fourths of the states have to pass a bill to make it an actual amendment to the Constitution. But four northern states that were in the Union signed off on it and passed it. So if you'd had seven southern states come back in, that'd been 11, and whatever it is, two-thirds or three-fourths, you could have gotten that passed. So then, to get rid of slavery, you would have had to have had another constitutional amendment to abolish slavery, which would have probably never happened. So, yeah, that the North was trying to protect slavery with that amendment and trying to get the seven states back into the Union. So,
no,
that wasn't the Confederate Congress that passed that. That was the U.S. Congress.
That's amazing. Not one person probably in 50,000 knows about that. That's for damn sure.
Well, they don't want you to know about it. The media and so-called historians and the talking heads of TV, they don't want you to know about that because that's the truth. And, you know, the first casualty, as they've said many times, the first casualty in war is the truth. And so this is a culture war, and it always has been, against the South, starting in the 1830s and continuing to the 2023. And the news media and the politicians and all the, you know, big talkers, they don't want people to know the truth. Because if they find out about it, they'll start thinking, okay, what else were we lied to in our U.S. history? And once you open that Pandora's box, there's all sorts of things that come out that were lies. About being lied into the Spanish-American War, lied into World War One, lied into World War Two, lied into Vietnam, lied into Iraq.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just,
you know,
one right after another.
My brother lives in Maine, and he sent me a video that he said I would really like, and it was a young man from Bar Harbor, Maine, and he was talking about the causes of the war. Believe it or not, he was spot on about everything. I totally agreed with him, and he did agree that it was an economic war. And that's all it was, an economic war. And, of course, another thing it has to do, which people don't think about, it was actually, you know, the Founding Fathers were from Virginia. They were Southerners. If the states were allowed to come in as free, this was going to diminish the power of the South. That was one issue. And, of course, the tariff was another issue. But this young man from Bar Harbor, he covered his bases both from the Union and from the Confederate side, and I was very surprised. He did an excellent job of clarifying the fact that this was not a war about slavery. We know that, but that's not what propaganda, that's not the propaganda we hear daily.
Oh, gosh, no. And it's typical liberal propaganda. You get in these debates, and Nancy, I'm sure you've gone through this too. When you defeat them, or when you bring out the facts and leave them standing there or sitting there with their mouth hanging open, then they can't debate facts, so they turn on you and go with the personal attacks. Well, you're just a racist. You're a white supremacist. You're this, you're that, you're a domestic terrorist, you're this, and so on. So I always consider that a badge of honor, and that's a symbol of their surrender. If they can't debate the facts and they have to trash the individual, then it means they've lost. They don't have anything to fall back on. And so that's why usually they don't allow debates on this. It's just our way or the highway from what they give you on TV or in politics or whatever, and they don't want the facts brought out. Like you brought up about the Corn Amendment, another one I always throw at them, well, if the war were about slavery, then how do you explain the Hampton Roads Conference? And they go, huh? What is that? Or words to that effect. And, well, that's when Vice President Alexander Stevens met with President Lincoln in Hampton Roads in the Chesapeake Bay there on the presidential yacht. And he said, Vice President Stevens said, well, all right, if you've changed the course of the war or the emphasis of the war from preserving the Union to abolishing slavery, what if we abolish slavery? Would you give us our independence? Lincoln turned him down because he that wasn't it. And so they've never heard of that either.
Excuse me.
So,
no.
And they never will hear of it.
Well, you know, our fact checker, Rich the Bearded Wonder, who was up there at the Dixie Fest this weekend, he was at our dinner. I loved him being there. He was on our show.
Rich is great. He can find facts anywhere, anytime.
he packed us tonight. I'll give a big hello there, and I'll give a big neck hug to the Bearded Wonder, Rich Hamlin, and our little sister, Janice. So thank y'all so much for coming up there at dinner last week. But anyway, Rich tuned in. He said it takes a 3/4 of the body to adopt the amendment.
3/4. Okay, thank you.
And he said that Lincoln, by the way, did endorse the Court Amendment. And he also said that Thaddeus Stevens said in 1862 that the war was not, I'll repeat that, Thaddeus Stevens said in 1862 that the war was not for emancipation. Lincoln was a figurehead president. He's probably so, because I remember in Lincoln's day, y'all would probably agree, the bankers running the whole damn thing then too. Anyway, but thank you so much, Bearded Wonder, our brother Rich. We'll never forget, we rode to Charlottesville.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. He's great. He can dig out the facts for you. He's a walking encyclopedia right there.
He most certainly is. I had a really good time with him. We had a really good time last week.
I tell you what, Eddie, before we continue any further, I would like to do one thing with your permission. I would like to send out, well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on the 5-year anniversary of the program. That's tremendous. And I'm sure a lot of people
never thought
this would get this far. And I'm sure there's a lot out there in the liberal left that hopes it won't make another 5 years. But good. Hope we irritate it. But no, the thing I wanted to say was,
we got to go to a quick break. Do you have the music tuned in?
Yeah, I'll come back right after that. Yes. Got one thing we need to put in.
I don't know if you can hear the music or not. People will be right back. We're just continuing having fun and loving on each other and loving on y'all, our great Blood River Radio audience. Be right back. Me, family.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, we're back on the air. Eddie had to take a short break to count all his money, and he will be back in just a few minutes, and he did give us a little leeway here. One thing I was asking him before we got on started on the break there, we would like to send our sympathies out and our encouragement out to Pat and Butch Godwin in Selma, Alabama. Now, they're the wonderful husband and wife that have put on the Forrest birthday celebration at their home out in Dallas County outside of Selma. I believe it's about 20-something years, 24 years. And they've had to cancel this year because Butch had a stroke, and he couldn't help with all the setup and everything that they needed to do that, and is in improving condition, but that's something very serious that you cannot overlook. And we just thank them so much for their Confederate hospitality. They don't charge people to come to that. And they provide a catfish mm-hmm. dinner, watermelon, drinks, everything. It's all free. And they just ask for donations, and they have silent auctions and things like that to raise money for the Confederate cemetery there in downtown Selma. And they have gone through mm-hmm. horrible, horrible battles trying to get that cemetery fixed and repaired. And the blacks just attack them, literally, physically attack them and their work crews out there to keep them from maintaining that cemetery. And they keep coming back year after year after year to keep it repaired and keep the Confederate monument there taken care of. They are very courageous and wonderful, wonderful people. And that Forrest birthday celebration is just a treat to go to. I've been down there several years. And a couple of the years, the real good speakers had to cancel at the last minute, and they asked me to speak. So I was glad to do that, but it is a great event, and I'm sorry that this was going to be their last year, but I don't know if they're going to try it again next year or not. But we wish Butch Godwin the very best. Hope he makes a full recovery.
Sure.
So we definitely wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, and I do hope that he recovers fully. I was invited many times and never did get out there. Of course, I know both of them, and I have a copy, which I'm sure you've seen, of the video of the installation of the first Nathan Bedford Forrest bust, in which the blacks were allowed to protest at the event in front of the, I think it was a museum where it was placed. And, of course, the blacks
yes.
forced that to be removed into the cemetery. But during the memorial, well, actually, that was, I guess you wouldn't, I don't know if you'd call it, the ceremony to celebrate the installation of the Nathan Bedford Forrest bust, the blacks were there right behind the speaker raising hell.
Of course.
I don't know if you've seen that video or not.
And, you know, that's just so typical of that animal mentality that they have. And they pull mm-hmm. something like that. And, you know, of course, if they had a Martin Luther King Day ceremony and we'd gotten out there and hollered and yelled and stopped, they would have had the state troopers, the local police, the National Guard, the FBI, everybody would have descended on that. But when they, well, you know why they did it. They got a black police chief and a black police force in Selma. Now, I don't know about out in the county, but that's all Selma is. It's been integrated, and they drove all the white businesses out of downtown Selma. It's a ghost town, and they've destroyed the businesses there and drove them out.
The
only thing that's open in Selma right now downtown are civil rights museums. And those are propped up with government funds to keep them open. They don't make enough to sustain themselves, but the government and the taxpayers of Alabama and the taxpayers to the federal government have to prop those up. So go ahead. I'm sorry, Nancy.
That's unfortunately, I was talking to Buddy yesterday, I guess, and he was talking about how horrible Memphis was and that they didn't drive through Memphis any longer because like 70% black. And, of course, Louisville, we are headed the same way. I'm not sure what the percentage is. We've got a large population of blacks. And I'll tell you what happened recently. There is a skate park that's close to the river on the Ohio River. And they've been trying to close it down a little bit early because they've had some problems down there. But there's also a company that's close by this park. It's called the Brass and Copper. I guess they manufacture some kind of products. And it showed a video of these black youths with guns of all sorts having shootouts right in the middle of the street behind cars right by this factory. And they're even getting into the yard of the factory, shooting into the cars of the employees. And I think, you know, our Jewish mayor thinks that he can control these people, and there's going to be some way he can solve this crime. I think it's impossible.
Well, of course you can control it. You go in and arrest them, send your police in there that are armed better than the thugs are, and arrest them and throw them in jail and don't let them out. That's gun control right there. They talk about taking guns away. No, you have people come in there with more guns that arrest these thugs and criminals that are using guns to just fire rounds all over the area, just spraying the whole area with rounds in cars coming by and people minding their own business. Yeah, that's the kind of gun control you need right there, is arrest these people, get them off the street, send the word
out.
That's not going to happen. You do something like that, you're going to jail. It's not going to happen.
That would be racist.
Right.
Now, if you did that, that would be racist to arrest those youths. They're just youths. They're just acting out a little bit, and they need comfort. They need mental psychologists to talk to them, and they need to be looked after. You know, this is just it's unfortunate. We're not going to have, I don't think we're going to have leadership that's going to make the necessary effort to stop the destruction of all of our cities. It's just, it's horrible. What city is under control?
No, that'll never happen
because you've got blacks running
rampage. Who elects these leaders? That's it. They won't do anything about it, whether it's St. Louis or Memphis or Louisville. I can give you an example in Nashville. When in 2021, and we had to be up there with all the other cities like San Francisco and Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and have our riots down on Lower Broadway, the idiot that we had for a mayor told the rioters to wear masks and maintain social distancing. And that's the kind of idiotic politicians we have here. And, that's true. He told the rioters, wear masks and maintain social distancing. So they paid this idiot back by breaking into the courthouse and setting the courthouse on fire, where his office is, happens to be in the courthouse. Now, at least the Nashville police had enough sense to break that up and call the fire department in and put the fire out in the courthouse. We didn't have to pay for building a new courthouse.
If you look at these European confrontations that have happened in the past, they use these water guns. I mean, water cannons. They use tear gas. They use all kinds of ways, batons and different things on these people. We don't do that. We don't stop riots. And as far as I can tell, we just let it happen. And I don't know if it's a lack of training, it's cowardice, it's fear of being called a racist. There's a lot of things, but it's a handwriting on the wall doesn't look good for white people, that's for sure. What is going to happen with the bust? I guess they'll take the bust out of the Capitol in Tennessee, according to, they did the same thing here in Kentucky. We take a man who was born in Kentucky, Jefferson Davis, and this no-good Governor Beshear, and, of course, the other leftists, they are delighted to see this statue that was in the Capitol Rotunda for years removed, and I'm assuming they'll do the same thing in Tennessee. They'll take out Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Oh, they already have. And that was something we were talking about before the break. We were talking about the boycott of Cracker Barrel restaurants because these clowns signed a petition along with about 28, 29 other businesses operate in Nashville, like the Communist Kickball Club that they have here, that run out there in shorts and kick the little ball around. Vanderbilt University, which is no surprise, they're liberal idiots anyway, but then Vanderbilt Medical Center. What does a forest bust in the state capitol have to do with medical procedures? There were several others, but one of them was Cracker Barrel. And not only did Cracker Barrel sign on to this petition to have the forest bust removed from the state capitol, they sent out a stupid analysis of forest that is absolutely insulting. And we'll cover that after the break.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gene.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Police in Georgia are searching for the suspect in connection with a shooting that left four dead in a town about 30 miles south of Atlanta earlier today. Authorities have identified the suspect as Andre Longmore, who they say is in his mid-50s and should be considered armed and dangerous. The scorching heat continues today throughout the Southwest. In Phoenix, residents can look forward to a brutal 117-degree day. In Las Vegas, residents are being told they should stay indoors to avoid the intense heat that could see Sin City reach 116 degrees. A large fire is still burning in Riverside County, California.
Crews continue to fight the rabid fire that started on Friday night and has grown to more than 4,500 acres by this morning. 25 homes have been forced to evacuate, and the fire is only 5% contained. Crews are also dealing with extreme heat as excessive heat warnings are in effect, where temperatures could reach 105 degrees today.
Correspondent Ryan Baker says crews from the Riverside County and the Saboba Indian Reservation fire departments are responding. Today, more details are expected to be disclosed regarding the events that resulted in the shooting of three police officers in Fargo, North Dakota on Friday. One officer was killed, the other two in critical condition. The person responsible for the shooting was also killed. An appeals court is issuing a brief pause on a lower court's ruling limiting the Biden administration's communication with social media companies.
The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday issued an administrative stay that's in effect until further notice. The separate panel will later consider the DOJ's motion to issue a pause on the ruling as the administration's appeal plays out in court. A judge ruled earlier this month the administration likely violated the First Amendment by working with social media companies to suppress unfavorable views relating to the coronavirus pandemic, election security, and other issues. I'm Dave Collins.
This is USA News.
When you can find everything you need at prices you can afford, that's totally Target. It's that feeling when quality good and gather ingredients on the barbecue bring family around the table. Or when favorite day after practice snacks let you celebrate the whole team for less. It's when saving more on up and up sunscreen means more fun in the sun. And when Target Circle Rewards program gives you more perks on what you buy most and is always free to join, that's totally Target.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Dear Blood River Radio, precious, precious family members, thank y'all so much for tuning in. And I'd just like to throw it out there again to thank our donors. We could not have this program without donors, you know. I won't say how much it costs a year for airtime because it would be kind of, what do the Hollywood people call it, bourgeois, whatever. But I'd like to thank our donors again tonight, every single one of them. Y'all know who you are. We're making airtime now. And when you're making airtime, that takes a huge load off. I'd just like to throw it out there one more time. In the beginning, I sold gold to make the initial, to get the equipment and to pay for a year's, I wanted to pay for a year's airtime in advance. And then the great people, you know, like Matt Goodwin and Lee Cochran, they helped me. We funded the second year, we pretty much financed it out of our own pocket. Two-thirds of the way through second year, we started getting enough in to where we weren't out so much out of pocket. But I'd like to thank y'all so very much. I really would. And, you know, this week it was Jay-Z from AZ. Jeff, and I love this one because this came out right under Sam's nose. This guy lives out there in Utah, right by Sam. His name is Jeff. He spells his last name T-J-A-S. Thank y'all so much. And Mr. Buddy sent in a donation along with a great letter. And old Biscuit down there in Florida. We couldn't do it without y'all. That's for God's truth. That is absolutely, absolutely true. But I'd like to make a comment about what Gene and Miss Nancy are saying. And this comes from the heart. I'm a Christian. I really am. I'm maybe a poor one, but you know, I've never doubted my salvation because I know I can always go back to my Father. I can ask Jesus Christ to intercede for me and please forgive me for my sins, and God, and He will. But I've always wondered why God made blacks. I really have, because I mean, and just like, why did He make ticks and tapeworms? I mean, because you know what? They have been these black, and I've told Gene, like during the break, Gene coined a term, first person I ever heard use it, these black feral animals when we were up at Charlottesville, and they were doing their animalistic wild ape best. You know what? They are just a running sore on the butt of white Christianity, white humanity. I can't think of them. Everybody, you always got your good one. You always got your good one. I'm not talking about the good one. They're great. But I'm talking about that 80-90% that are dangerous, that hate white people, that would destroy. I mean, is there anything lower that would harass people coming in to clean up a cemetery? Is there anybody that will come in and dance and urinate on a grave like they did at General Nathan Bedford Forrest here in Memphis? There's nothing lower than that. And so that's why I say I don't know why God made them, because they're just like Gene said, they're a bunch of black feral animals. I think God, we must be under judgment. But I'm going to shut that up. I'll shut up and go back. Go ahead, Rand. And you, since you've been out so long, I hope I didn't sound too mean toward our black brethren. But
I thought you were turning it down tonight.
Oh, that's right. Hey, James Evers just came in. He called me telling lies. I'm going to tone it down tonight. No more fire and brimstone and napalm. We're going to go back to silver. But anyway, go ahead, Rand. I'm over James Body's over. This is our last week. Case Gene, I'll tell Gene. Thank Ray was here. This is the last week of probably a celebratory. We're celebrating the 5-year anniversary of Blood River Radio. Sam's here. Sam's wonderful son-in-law is here. He's like a grandson to me. And they're having a dinner here tonight. And they come in here studio to check on me. But I say I got more support from you guys. Y'all could do it yourself. But, you know, I'll shut up and go back to you, Rand. I just want to let Gene know where we were, et cetera. That's why James came in here. He checked on us a little bit, just to make sure everything's running good.
Well, thank you, Eddie. And I just made a couple of notes here on what I was talking about. I was just patiently waiting. It's good to practice patience, but. One thing I'd like to say, what y'all just mentioned, is about the beast of the field. All these
beast of the field.
Let me just say this. All these nigger lovers out here, they ought to have had to walk from that park in Charlottesville. They ought to have had to walk that from that park in Charlottesville that we had to. They ought to have had to walk up that street back to that parking garage that day. And all of those Negroes, the noble Negroes, with ball bats and anything else that they could get in their hands, up and down the sidewalks, just lurking, just waiting for an opportunity to hit one of us in the back of the head. They are, all these people that love these Negroes, they ought to have to take that little stroll that day back up to that parking garage. And, you know, Gene had mentioned about the Selma. Selma's lost. Selma's gone. Well, it's the same way with Montgomery, and I've said this on the show before. We all know it. Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, not to mention Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit. But you know what all this is the result of, brothers and sisters? It's the result of the appeasement of the noble Negro. This is what you get when you try to appease these beasts. They never satisfied. Enough is never enough for them. And you're seeing the results of people, white people, bending over backwards, trying to make their own self feel good or not be called a bad name, just on and on and on, condoning what they do, saying, oh, well, it's just like these teenagers, like Miss Nancy said, these youths. They can run wild on the street. Oh, but they just young boys. Well, you let a bunch of white guys get out there and start acting that way, and you'll see a whole different story on that. And people, and I've said this before, not many people have the stomach to do what it's going to take our cities back. They're lost.
Rand, you have a.
They're going to have to be,
have a,
gonna have to be taken back, and it's not going to be pretty.
You're right. I could not. We preached that. Matter of fact, you and I have talked about that in private before. We have said that very few men will have the stomach to do what would have to be done. And we all know what we're talking about. But we talked a bit, and include me. I mean, I hate to have to go that far because, you know, if you've ever seen, if you've ever seen heavy trauma, heavy combat, you know, in any setting, and you've seen gore, it'll make you. You'll never forget. It'll mess you up bad. It you'll vomit your guts out. I mean, you'll puke like you've got, you know.
Well, brother Eddie, let's think about what our children and our grandchildren are going to be faced with if we don't do something.
If we don't
like
do it,
that. We may live to see it, but they are going to be ruled by these people one day.
Yeah, and we're almost there.
Just think about that. I know we're almost there. Just think about that. I mean, which you'd rather have? You'd rather have your prodigy, your heritage to carry on and have a place, have a country to live in? Or do you just want to give it up to somebody because it's the politically right thing to do? I mean, it's not going to be pretty. And Lord knows that I don't want it to be that way, but it's really no choice. It's really no choice. And something else that I'd made a note of right here, because y'all had talked about it was an excellent time. I think it was might have been said off the air, but y'all was talking about the Cracker Barrel and boycotting Cracker Barrel and how it'd be an excellent time to Southerner to open up a business and whatever. But what had come to mind during that when y'all said that is that these leftists. Think about this, y'all. These leftists,
Satanists.
They got power. Yes, Satanists. They got power. They do not intend to give it up. Think about it.
Hell no.
They just had a former, I guess the first former president of the United States arrested. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Trump's the savior, but he was a president. He did say a lot of good things and he got arrested. They stole the election. I mean, my goodness, 81 million votes, so many million votes more than Obama got. And the dude couldn't even bring 10,000 people to a parking lot. He didn't campaign. I mean, my goodness, how did he get that? They stole that daggum election. The mask is off. And they're not going to give up this power. They got a hold to it and they'll go to any length. In my mind, I think they'll go to any lengths to hold on to it. And another thing real quick while I got the floor, so to speak, you talk about these companies, these going woke companies. Well, I think, you know, possibly these companies have looked at the results of the COVID jab. You know, look how people just fell in line, wearing the mask, staying at home, not going to the hospitals or the nursing homes to see their loved ones, all of this stuff. Taking the jabs. I mean, they look and say, oh, well, hell, these damn fools will do anything, you know.
Rand, we have to go to a quick break. And by the way, you have Rich Hamlin said for me to tell you that you rock, brother. And when we come right back for the break, we'll go back to the old bitter ender. Hang on, folks. See you in a minute.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're right back. I can't believe this 3 hours has gone all the by so fast, but we're going right back to the bitter ender, Gene Andrews himself, the big kahuna. He says he's not the big kahuna, but you know what? Me and James, we have to kind of suck up, because if we don't, the big kahuna, he's liable to come down on us to stand us in the corner. It's none other but Sam. Sam,
No. Y'all have called the shots. I just fill in where you need a body.
Well, Sam Bushman just walked in there. Just say hello, Sam, to all our we got the lunatics audience. We're the wild ones back here. Hey, Sam Bushman, the guy who syndicates Blood River and TPC, he's going to say hello to you folks.
Delighted to have all of you on the radio. We are in studio with Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're delighted to celebrate his 5th year anniversary. We've been celebrating for days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now, it's like the epic celebration. Now, I almost got shot walking into the studio. Eddie's lost his mind with his 45. I told him, no, I'm not even 55 anymore, so don't shoot when I came in. Look, the guy's paranoid. The guy's lost his mind, and we have got to do something to save him. And the way we're trying to save him is having those celebrations. All right, I saw this Mexican restaurant driving over here, and it was called The Happy Mexican. And I just thought that would make James happy. And I thought Eddie could go there, and we could put a Mexican hat on him, and we could have a big old Mexican party, right? And Eddie can eat chips and salsa, and he can end with, what's that cake called? What's that Mexican cake called? Tres Leche? We could end with Tres Leche cake, and we could call him the Happy Bombardier.
Hey,
sounds like a good party you got to have there.
Hey, what the big kahuna's talking about, when they walked in tonight, I had my satchel here and my trusty 45 automatic. And I tell you what, it ain't loaded with caps either, folks, because you know, like I told James, me and Jane, we got enemies here, folks. And you're running truly, you never know who the hell's going to walk through the door. And, you know, with the wrong person walks through the door, they need to have their barrel insurance paid up. But anyway, I guess we'll save that for another commercial. But anyway, Gene, if you will, brother, we still got about 10 minutes left. Go ahead and take off on what old Rand said or anything else you want to talk about, brother.
Well, I think he was right in how the feral animals have just destroyed all of our cities. It's appalling. And, you know, Sam Dixon made a good point. One time, I think it was an American Renaissance conference, he said, people are always griping about the traffic jams you have getting in and out of Atlanta, getting in and out of Nashville, getting in and out of Memphis, getting in and out of wherever. He said, the blacks have caused that because they take over these cities and people are not going to live there and put their families at risk of being attacked right out on the street, right in front of your own home. And they're certainly not going to send their children to these government-run schools in these cities that are nothing but holding pens for criminals. So, of course, they're going to move out. Now, the father or the mother, whoever's working in the city, has to go back there to work, but they're not going to subject their family to the horrors of living in a black-run city. They just can't do it. It would be suicide. And so there's where a lot of your traffic jams come from, is all these people piling in there in the morning and getting the hell out of there at night before the sun goes down, and getting out into the suburbs or way out in the country. I don't know how it is where you are, Eddie, but in Nashville, good night, people commute from 2, 3, sometimes 4 counties away from Nashville.
Yes,
to stay out
they
of
do.
There.
Same
and,
here.
And yeah. then, you
Same
know,
way here.
I go down to the forest home, and in the morning I just see a solid line of traffic for like 40, 50 miles out from Nashville coming in. And then when I'm coming home in the afternoon, it's the same thing coming out of Nashville to get out of there. So, but of course, when they build a new dome stadium here, all of that will go away. It'll be perfect. Everything will be right.
Oh, yes, so, no doubt. Oh, yes.
Anyway.
I don't mean to interrupt, Gene, but I've heard that referred to as white flight. And,
yes,
and what I'd like to say is it's time for daggum white fight instead of flight. We need to fight instead of flight. But you're exactly right, Gene. It's the same way in Montgomery. If you come through at the wrong time, where it would take you 20 minutes to get home, it might take you 1 hour and 15 minutes to get home. It's like that everywhere. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I beg to differ with your term there. I don't think it's white flight. I think it's white survival, just to get away from this. Because, you know, if you do try to confront these people, and you do defend yourself, and you use force to defend yourself, because they're using force weapons against you, who's going to go to jail? It's the white person that defended themselves, and they'll turn all these animals loose. You know, they had a thing on Fox News just a little while ago before we came on, and they were talking about the crime in New York City and people being attacked on the subway and beaten and everything, and they were showing all these video clips of all these animals attacking people in the subway stations and pushing them off on the tracks and everything. And who did they arrest? They arrested that Marine that held that crazy black guy that was attacking people on the subway. And he was holding him, and the guy choked or whatever, and so they arrested him for protecting people on the subway. So that's the whole idiotic system that you're up against. You try to protect yourself or your family or an innocent bystander, and they're going to come after you or the police like they did in Minneapolis with that George Floyd criminal. They come after you, so why stay around people like that? Get the hell out of Dodge. Get out of Nashville. Get out of Birmingham. Get out of Memphis. Just stay away from it. You don't have a chance. If the animals are stacked against you and the judicial system in this country, which has become a joke, is stacked against you, then, you know, you really don't have much of a chance as far as surviving in a situation like that. So just get as far away as you can. I guess that's all you can do.
You know, Gene, earlier in the program,
it'll come a time, brother, though, when we don't have anywhere else to go. It'll come a time when we don't have anywhere to run to. I mean,
that time's drawing right
by the day. By the day.
I guess like they do in South Africa, they have some of these white enclaves out in the countryside where they stockpile ammunition and diesel fuel and generators and things like that. But you certainly don't have a chance of surviving inside the city limits anywhere.
No, we talked about earlier about I talked about Sam Francis, bless his heart. He's been deceased for years, but he's the one that coined that term. I talked about this, I think, the second hour. He coined the term anarcho-tyranny, and that's what we're seeing, and it's played out. Just like Sam Francis said, what the government does, the illegitimate crime cabal, Washington, D.C., Sodom of the Potomac, what they do is they sick these feral animals on us. We referenced it actually Black Lives Matter and more so Antifa. Antifa and the United States government are one in the same. Antifa, they're the shock troops, the Waffen-SS, you know, of the government. And, you know, and what they do is they attack, just like Eugene said, and just like Rand said, they attack white people. They you know, kill people, rape white people, kill them. And then when you lift your fingers to protect yourself, lift your hand, they arrest you. Well, Sam Francis talked about that years ago, called that anarcho-tyranny, where they use these just Jews in the government, use these damn wild, these mad dog feral animals to attack white people. In the end, James just came in here. He came in just to hear in time to hear me use that term. But that's true. I mean, that's what they use it for.
When you have a judicial system that allows people like that murdered that couple in Knoxville, Tennessee, several years ago, Shannon Christian and Christian Newsom, they're still breathing air. They're in the air conditioner. They got internet. I mean, when you got a judicial system, you have no deterrent. Why are those, and I know this is a rabbit trail, but why are those five feral Negroes still breathing God's air after what they did to those two innocent white people, that couple, those young, just beginning their lives, just in the beginning to get into the prime of their lives. They're taken to a house and all this stuff done to them, tortured and eventually killed, and them bastards are still breathing air today.
That's right.
Why?
And you know what? You know something else, Rand? They could not do it. These feral black bastards, like you said, they could not get by with it if it wouldn't for. We need to never forget this. It's just like Dave Gaharry said. It's always Jews all the time. The Jews in power that run the government, they run the judiciary, they run the police. They are the ones that are responsible. They're the ones that sick these feral animals on us. Just like the drug dealers sicking their pit bulls and their junkyard dogs on anybody that happens to be unfortunate enough to stumble into a dope patch where they're growing marijuana. But if we could get rid of these Jews, the black problem would disappear, because before the Jews got the upper hand, when we used to have the Klan back around the 1900, 1920, these blacks were kept under control. But anyway, back to you, Gene.
No, unfortunately, that is true. And I think we saw that when we were up in Charlottesville, how they attacked us out in the streets, and we had a permit to be there. And then from the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter, and not a single one of them were ever arrested. They had no permit. They just hauled them in buses, and we saw the buses when we were leaving that another Jew, George Soros, whose real name is Schwartz, had paid for to haul all these people in there and attack us and attack the Unite the Right rally and the rally that we were having to try to save General Lee's park there. And then who went on trial? Did any of the Antifas or the BLMers go on trial? Absolutely not. They brought charges against the people that legitimately organized the rally. So if that was the one thing that really hit me in the face, how corrupt the judicial system in this country is, because they had all their police, Charlottesville police, just standing around with their thumbs stuck up their rear end. Their highway patrol did nothing until it was time to push us out of the park and out into Market Street there so we could be attacked a second time trying to get out of there. And then that's what they did. And so that law enforcement is an absolute joke in this country. There is none. It's an arm of the lunatic left.
I'll never forget, Gene, and I've said this on the air before, but I'm going to say it again. You know, that day we was up there, my wife was with me. And she didn't have any colors or shirts or anything on. She was just dressed normal, and she was taking a lot of pictures. And we got separated, and she was calling me, and I said, well, honey, you know, I said, just find a policeman and let him direct you back to the garage. And she said, I already have. And he looked at her, and he said, lady, didn't you know what you was getting into when you come here? Didn't try to help her. Not at all.
Red, Gene Brothers, you two, we have run completely out of time. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Brother Rand. Thank you, Brother Gene. Thank you, Sister Nancy and Sister Monica. And thank you, Miss Lizzie, for running that board like a pro that you are. People, we will see you same time, same place next week. God willing. Good night, everybody.